brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we read from Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Beloved, I exhort the presbyters among you as a fellow presbyter and witness to the sufferings of Christ, and one who has a share in the glory to be revealed. Tend the flock of God in your midst, overseen not by constraint, but willingly as God would have it, not for shameful profit, but eagerly. In other words, be a good pastor. Serve others. Love them. Care for them. Put them first in your life. It takes a great deal of selflessness to do that. And the only way we can do that, whether it's a project in our church, whether it's some responsibility among people, the important thing is that I do it for Him. If I do it for the praise of others, it's honestly practically worthless. But if I do it out of love for Him, and if I seek to reveal Him by my thoughts, my words, my actions, then whatever the act is that I do will little by little draw me into the very heart of God. I'm not kidding. That's not hyperbole. It's true. But I have to be willing to say, Lord, I want you to be praised in them. I want you to be honored by them. And help me to praise you and to honor you more. Be one of them, in a sense. At the same time, speak confidently of God's love for them. Whatever position of authority we have, even if it's to the children in a preschool, and I'm not minimizing the authority there, it's just a different kind of authority, but even there, get into little minds and little hearts an orientation to life. God first, then others, then me. Teach them that, and they'll learn it best if you're living it. So I really urge you and encourage you, lift up your heart. Lift up your heart, because God desires to bring us all close to Him. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Oh my, do I rely on the Lord like that He's my shepherd? In verdant pastures, He gives me repose. Beside restful waters, He leads me. He refreshes my soul, even while I might be walking through a dark valley. Do I believe that just because difficult circumstances are around me, that means God doesn't love me or that God doesn't care about me? Of course not. Things are difficult around us primarily because of sin. Somewhere down the line, it's because of sin. Maybe not our personal sin, but the sin of those around us or those in our family, and we all suffer because we're all members of one body. The whole body suffers when one part suffers. But sometimes we have darkness coming in on us and difficulties, and we think, oh, does God even hear my prayer? Does God even know? Does God even care? He remembers every word. He knows every word that you say. We don't remember every word we say, but God does. So come to Him with a sincere heart. Come to Him with an open heart. Put your pain, your suffering, your sorrow, put it before Him. And say, Lord, just hold me up today and lead me in the way you want me to go. You watch what God does for you. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. Have there been difficult situations in my life? Of course. Have there been some very difficult ones? Yes, there have. Yes. But I kept my eyes on Him by His grace. I just kept saying, Lord, lead me. Lord, show me. Lord, teach me. Lord, help me. And when I got through whatever that particular struggle was, God was nearer than He had been before. He comes when we welcome Him. He comes when we ask Him. Maybe not the way we want Him to come, but He will come. He will reveal Himself in a way that will be even better. Remember, our vision is very myopic. We don't see and we don't hear. We just don't get the whole picture. But God does. Trust him and follow him. Is that an area that you should be paying attention to during this Lent? How do I trust God? What can I do on my part to trust him more? One helpful thing is to read the scripture, and I say this for everybody, all of us, every single one of us should be reading the scripture every day. But I especially encourage you when you're going through difficult times, read the scriptures. Look what God says. Look how God desires to bring comfort, how he desires to bring help, how he walks with us in our difficulties. Read the scripture. You'll see. Read the Psalms. You'll see. God wants to walk with you too. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Like, tell me, what are people telling you about who I am? And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And God asks you today that question. Who do you say that I am? Think about that. How would you answer that question? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Do you see? I mean, that is nothing but faith, because he's seen what looks like another human being, not the God of the universe. We had, and I'm sure for thousands of years, there were images of what God would look like. And he comes as a, just like you and me, in the flesh. People were thrown in there, you know, even the disciples, they're drawn by him. They're almost, it's like compelled to follow him, because they see in him a truth and a beauty and a goodness that every human being longs for. But Jesus is trying to take them deeper now. And he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." In other words, no man taught you this. It's my Father who taught you this. "And so I say to you, you are Peter," which is Petrus, rock. "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it." In the end, evil will not triumph. Feels like it at times, especially when things hit home so deeply. But it will not have the last word, brothers and sisters. Trust him. Even when you're shaken, even when your faith is shaken, even if you can just barely get the words out, but just say, "Jesus, I choose to trust you." And you feel sometimes like a fool, but God hears every word. Every word. "I will build my church on you, the rock, Peter. And the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it." Even if all evil is thrown at it. We've certainly seen it over the centuries. We've seen our mistakes and our sins as well. Jesus says here, "The gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That's why there is such authority given to the Pope. Peter was our first Pope. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Brothers and sisters, God is giving us so many promises and so many ways to draw closer to Him. But in our pride, in our arrogance, we so often minimize our sin. I don't want you to maximize it, but I certainly don't want you to minimize it. Take it as it is. Where you're responsible, where you fell, where the mistake is yours, just take the responsibility. I did it. I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? Those are the hardest words to get out between your teeth. They really are. In fact, you're doing it through clenched teeth sometimes. But do it. I did it. I am very sorry. Will you please forgive me? Don't mumble it. Don't look down. Look right at them. Will you please forgive me? And they say, no, I'm not going to forgive you. It's okay. You have done your part. I mean, of course we want them to forgive us. And frankly, God will pour out grace on them to come to you and say, I do forgive you. So if somebody says, you make yourself very vulnerable and you say, will you please forgive me? And somebody just gets angry and walks away. They don't know what to do. You have done what you should do and God will bless you. But stay open that other person might get the courage and the wisdom to come to you and to repent for not forgiving you right away. Trust Him. Trust Him. He will work out all kinds of things. So I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So God is in Christ is giving Peter quite the responsibility and the authority. Pray for the Pope. Pray for all our popes in your lifetime. Pray for them. Brothers and sisters, unforgiveness is probably the single biggest obstacle to our union with God. We don't give it, or we don't receive it, or we don't ask for it. We feel so righteous sometimes in what we've done because we're retaliating many times. We think, well, they deserve it, and I'm owed it. I should be able to do this. No, you're not. Jesus says, don't take revenge. Let it up to Him. Let it up to God. Brothers and sisters, this is so important in this season to learn how to forgive and be forgiven. God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.